Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Final corner of 400 laps. Alex Bowman steals one in Richmond.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Great guys. Crew chief of the 48 is pumped. Look at that team.
They rebounded from a pit road penalty at lap 240.
I can't
to score his third career win.
There you go. The great Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon, Clint Boyer on the call from Fox Sports. As Bowman closes it out, I'm not going to say he stole it. I'm going to say he closed it. And he gets the victory at Richmond. Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. You can also watch us on Twitch, on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Facebook as well. Every Saturday at 9 o'clock, I'm Chase McCabe, and happy to be here with you talking some racing, as always. We're going to have Alan Bestwick, who you actually heard there in the open. He is a part of our open here on the show. He's going to join us in the next segment. He's doing a lot of different things in motorsports, but going to be the play-by-play announcer for the Superstar Racing Experience that Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham are a part of. So we'll talk to him in just a little bit. But first, we got to get into Richmond because, yes, Alex Bowman won the race. Once again, Denny Hamlin dominated the race, leading the most laps. He led 207 laps, and he came home second. I feel like that this is just a continuous theme of this season of Denny Hamlin is the best. He has the best car. Right now, I guess he's the best driver out there, but he's not winning. And listen, at the end of the day, it's all about that getting that checkered flag. I mean, this show is called Chasing Checkers. You want to win the race. So he comes home second. Joey Logano, who I thought had a really good car as well, he gets third. So can you make the argument that Alex Bowman stole it? Sure. Sure you can. But they were up there in the mix pretty much all day. Now, they did have some issues, and he had to work his way back. But I think Bowman has shown this year that, you know, he's got it. I mean, taking over that 48, taking the pressure of taking over the 48. And, oh, by the way, Jimmy Johnson made his IndyCar debut on the same day in the new version of the 48. So to get the 48 back to victory lane, that was pretty cool. But I think Alex Bowman deserves a lot more credit than maybe he gets. I think he's a talented race car driver. I've had the opportunity to talk to him several times. He's a good guy. He gets it. Things just haven't, you know, come as easily to him as maybe it does for somebody else. But I think he does a fantastic job, and there's a reason that Rick Hendrick tabbed him to replace Dale Jr. in the 88 and now replace Jimmy Johnson in the 48 because he knows he has that talent. But with some of the runs that they have had this year, you know, not having victory lane, having the pressure of the 48, you got to wonder, was he starting to feel a little bit desperate? He answered that question after the race.
Yeah, somewhat. You know, I think Bristol, we were probably good enough to win. Broke fourth gear. Martinsville, probably good enough to win. Had some issues there. So I feel like we've been capable, had race cars capable, just haven't put all the parts and pieces together, like you said. So, you know, we weren't in a great place with points. But now, you know, we've got to win and we don't have to worry about that. So I wouldn't say we were desperate. I feel like we've had such fast race cars that we knew we were capable of doing a good job and getting into the playoffs. But this definitely eases the nerves a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it has to. You know, getting that win because, you know, with the playoffs, that format, wins get you in. It's what you need. And because of how some of the things had gone, I mean, he finds himself 13th in the standings, but now he has that win. So it doesn't really, It matters because, I mean, if you keep getting winners, I mean, think about all the different winners that we've had in NASCAR this year in the Cup Series. You keep getting a bunch of winners, I mean, you're only 16 are going to get in. So, you know, what does that mean for a Bowman or, you know, really Michael McDowell, who is 17th if you look at the actual points right now, but he's the, you know, winning the Daytona 500. That should help him get in. But you gotta start stacking some of these up and running better, running more consistently, and I think that that's what this could do for Alex Bowman. I mean, I talk about on any show I'm on, you will always hear me bring up confidence, and winning certainly helps with confidence. And I've seen it with him before that, you know, when he's, it's only his third career win, but when he gets a win, you can see them run better the next few weeks. But there just seems to be something different. He and Greg Ives are gelling more than they ever have before. It's like he hasn't, and he's told us this, it's not that he's looked at taking over the 48 as pressure. It's like, it's an honor that, you know, he's getting to do that. Now, obviously, you know, getting a win for Ally. I mean, think about this. Jimmy never won for Ally. Jimmy, you know, got Ally towards the end. Lowe's was his longtime sponsor. He never got back to Victory Lane. So this was the first win for Ally, which was huge, to have them get in Victory Lane in that 48. So that happened, and of course, Ally sponsoring the Ally 400, which is at the Nashville Super Speedway. And the Nashville Super Speedway, of course, is involved with this show. So get your tickets, NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or 1-866-RACE-TIX. There you go, nice plug. But it was big for Ally. I think Kendrick Motorsports, as you've heard me say, is back. I mean, Larson's already got a win. Bowman's got a win. Byron's got a win. Chase Elliott is the one. He's seventh in points, and it has been kind of up and down for him, the defending champion. But as I have said, and I will continue to say, he's going to win. He's going to win more than one race, and he's going to be a contender for the championship again. The way this format is set up, I can't sit here and say, yeah, for sure he's going to win back-to-back, or yeah, for sure Denny Hamlin's going to win the championship because he's been so dominant. I would say if I was forced to really make one pick right now, I would go Denny Hamlin. But I think that Chase is certainly going to be in the mix because Hendrick Motorsports is back and they know what they're doing. So I think this just adds to Alex Bowman's confidence. I'm not going to say he stole it. I'm going to say he closed it out, and that's what you have to do. Doesn't matter where you start, matters where you finish, and he closed it out. So Denny Hamlin, as I mentioned, continues to be dominant. He led the most laps once again, but he comes home second, and he commented on that second place finish.
You know, it just didn't take off very good there. It definitely was worse than our car took off after a restart, but the 48, guessing had his tires pumped up and he was able to take off there, get the lead, and then build a lead big enough that I didn't have enough time to get back to him.
Denny Hamlin on his second place finish. And I will say this, and we'll have another clip from him in just a second. For the first time, and Denny's a competitor, you know, Denny shows emotion, but I feel like for the first time this year, I've heard that frustration in his voice, and he's saying all the right things. He's saying, you know, he's like, hey, you know, we're dominating. We know we have a good race team. You know they're going to be in the mix, but you can kind of hear it of like, damn, I just want to get one of these wins. And I want to close one of these things out. I think close is the key word for the day. In fact, he even goes on to say they should have won the race.
Yeah, we should have won. Certainly the 48 wasn't better than us all day, but just got to lead the last lap. You got to figure out how to lead the last lap, and that's pretty much all that matters. But today, obviously, I don't know, we had a dominant car. I mean, it was definitely top two. You know, there was times 19 was better, there was times, you know, 22 was better that one run. So you know, but certainly you know, top tier.
I mean, he led 207 laps. I would say that is pretty dominant. I know Truex led 107 as well, his teammate, but I would say 207 laps is pretty close to dominant, and they couldn't close it out, couldn't get it done. And I like I said, you know, him saying, yeah, we should have won. I just feel like that some of that frustration is starting to set in a little bit. And we'll talk a little bit more about that with some of the contenders, some of the guys that we expect to win that haven't at this point. And, you know, I think what's been good for the sport this year is you've had different winners. It hadn't been the same old, same old. It hasn't been, you know, the same Denny Hamlins or Kyle Busch's every week. I know Truex has a couple of wins, but, you know, Bowman's getting one. Byron's getting one. Christopher Bell's already got one. Obviously, McDowell to start the season at Daytona. I like that, and I think the fans do too, and I think you got a very good chance of seeing somebody different win this weekend at Talladega because how unpredictable it is. Mentioned Joey Logano. Joey Logano comes home third and talked about how his car was all day long.
Yeah, I mean, we adjusted on it. You know, I'd say, you know, early in the race, you know, we were probably, I don't know, I felt like we weren't really that great on the short run early in the race either. I felt like we were just kind of a third placer there the first couple stages, whether it was short run or long run, it's just where we were. Made some adjustments to try to get better on the long haul. Feel like we did. I think the track changed a little bit too, because there's one round, I think Denny was tight. And then the next round we got tight and he caught right back up to us. So, you know, I think we're both kind of chasing the track on different adjustments, trying to catch up. So, you know, I think the track went for a swing as much as anything. And then, like we said, I think the 48 kind of snookered everybody probably that last round with some of his adjustments.
Yeah. And you've had both Denny and Joey mention it. Greg Ives made some great adjustments on the 48 to get them in the position to win that race. But, you know, Joey, I thought had a good car, as he said. I think it could have been the Denny and Logano show, and Bowman made the right adjustments and was there at the end. And like I said, he was able to close it out. So, and you know, Joey already has a win on the year, with winning the dirt race at Bristol. So, you know, he's got that, but let's look at the top 10 real quick before we get to Alan Beswick from, you know, longtime motorsports announcer. Bowman leads 10 laps, and the one that matters the most, the last one, he gets the win. Denny Hamlin comes home second after leading 207. Joey Logano, 49, led on the day, is third. Christopher Bell, another solid run for him. He is fourth. Martin Truex Jr. leads 107. He is fifth. Eric Almirola with a solid top 10 and sixth. William Byron, seventh. Kyle Busch, who he's good at Richmond, continues to hover around. He is eighth. Matt DiBenedetto, what a run for him. They needed that in the Wood Brothers Ford. They come home ninth, and Austin Dillon in the three rounds out the top 10. So there you go. I mentioned the standings right now, and these are just the traditional standings. These aren't the playoff standings. Denny Hamlin leading the way. Martin Truex Jr. second. Joey Logano third. William Byron fourth. Ryan Blaney fifth. Kyle Larson sixth. Chase Elliott, 7th, Kevin Harvick, 8th, Brad Keselowski, 9th, Christopher Bell rounding out the top 10, Kyle Busch, Austin Dillon, Alex Bowman, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Kurt Busch, Chris Buescher make the rest of the top 16 with Michael McDowell on the outside looking in. But he does have that Daytona 500 win to help him when it comes to the playoff standings. Tony Stewart and Ray Evernham have started a new league. SRX is what it's called, Superstar Racing Experience. When we come back, we're going to talk to Alan Beswick, longtime racing announcer. He's going to be the voice of that. We'll do that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway. You can get your tickets by going to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or calling 1-866-RACE-TIX. We're back on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe here with you every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Excited to talk to our next guest. When you hear the open for this show, you do hear the voice of Alan Beswick, longtime motorsports announcer, and he does a little bit of everything, even calls some college football. So, Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm at the St. Petersburg IndyCar race right now with practice going on, but I tried to find a quieter spot.
No, you sound great. I want to start with that because, you know, St. Pete, obviously a a street course, and that's something that we're going to get to experience this August here in Nashville as IndyCar takes over our streets with the Music City Grand Prix. What are we in store for having these IndyCars take over the streets of Nashville?
Well, I think you're in store for a fun weekend. It's obviously a very different discipline than an oval track. It's because it's in the middle of the city, it takes on a different vibe. You know, I guess the best I can describe it is it kind of becomes more of like a downtown party, you know, and the racing in the IndyCar series is terrific. The people are terrific. The cars are cool. You know, I know there's a contingent from Nashville here this weekend trying to soak in all the knowledge they can about operating the street race, and there's so much that goes into it that's really hard. But I think, you know, it's going to be a great experience. I've seen the design of the course. You know, I mean, come on, a bridge over the river? That's just going to be awesomely unique. And so I can't wait to see it. I know that, you know, there's some great people involved in staging the race, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, someone very near and dear to me, Liz Allison, is one of those people involved, and I know you guys have worked together before. She's down there this weekend, so they got a good group, and that's the thing. I've worked with them some, and I think they have the right people involved, and with the ownership that they have involved, I think it's going to be a very, very fun event. Are you going to be able to be here for it?
You know, I don't know the answer to that yet. schedules are constantly fluid in this day and time we live in, as you know. And,
yes.
So I don't know the answer. I hope to be. I would love to be, but I don't know for sure that I would be.
You've covered all disciplines of motorsports, so obviously NASCAR for a long time with NBC and ESPN, IndyCar. You've called Daytona 500s, Indy 500s. Nashville is a market that has always embraced motorsports, and they've had motorsports before. They've had NASCAR. They've had IndyCar, but to have it come back with NASCAR going out to the Super Speedway, the fairgrounds, which we'll get to with SRX in a few minutes, and then, of course, the street course. How important is Nashville to motorsports, in your opinion?
Well, I think the fact that so many major levels of motorsport are coming back to Nashville says something about both the market's importance and the sport's importance to the market. Right, there's a lot of race fans in Nashville, and Nashville is a growing, thriving, blooming city, and it's a great place to stage a big event. And so the fact that the Cup Series is coming back is terrific, I think. The fact that the fairgrounds is being revived is terrific. The fact that there's this IndyCar race in the streets is terrific. Nashville is a fun city to visit. And, you know, so the appeal to the sponsors of the sport, to fans, is huge. And I think, you know, it says a lot about both the importance of the sport to the city, but the importance of the city to the sport.
We're talking to Alan Beswick, longtime motorsports announcer, and doing a little bit of everything, including joining CBS and calling the SRX, the Superstar Racing Experience, which has been put together by Tony Stewart, Ray Evernham. You've worked with both, interviewed both. You know how determined Tony is, and when he puts his teeth in something, you know that he's going to go all in. I'm very excited about this. They are going to race. They're going to close the season out at Nashville at the fairgrounds. But how excited are you to get in the booth and call these legends, these superstars, as they hit the track again?
Well, very, Chase. The whole concept of the thing is built around one word, and that's fun. The cars are going to be fun to drive. The drivers are going to be having fun because it's not the traditional competitive element where, you know, you're trying to win to keep a sponsor, or you're trying to win to keep a job, or, you know, they're out there to have fun and race against each other in cars that are going to be very driver dependent. And, you know, the fact that it's all short tracks and you're not, you know, iconic short tracks, all of it just adds together to be a real scream. And we've got a great group put together for the television crew. I've been talking to several of the drivers. They can't wait to get in the cars and try them out. Ray has been working on this for a couple of years, and what the car will be very, like I said, driver-dependent, and what's going to make the difference is, you know, the person operating the wheel and the pedals, and isn't that what we all want
yeah.
On a Saturday night, you know?
No, absolutely. And the season will start at Stafford Motor Speedway on June 12th. And races at Knoxville, Eldora, Lucas Oil, Slinger, and then closing out the season July 12th at the Nashville Fairgrounds. So that's going to be awesome. And that lineup, I mean, you got, of course, Tony Stewart, Michael Waltrip is in that, Tony Kanaan, Bill Elliott. I mean, there are a lot of different drivers in it. It reminds me, Alan, of IROC, and I miss IROC. I was as a guy that has liked racing since I was a kid. You know, I remember the IROC series, and so this kind of has that feel to it. Is that a way that you kind of equate it to fans that are asking about it?
Yeah, Chase. I mean, it is the IROC series modernized and updated in a few very important ways. You know, if you think about the IROC series, scheduling used to be really difficult, right? Trying to find out when you could get drivers from all these different series together in one place that fit into all of their schedules. You know, the speedway racing element of it, all of those things. Well, you take that concept, the basics of it, and say, okay, let's get a bunch of superstar drivers together, but let's not depend on, you know, guys that are trying to win a cup championship right now. Let's get guys that are still extremely popular and extremely competitive, and let's put them together. And let's go to a bunch of really iconic short tracks. And think about, you know, the Fairgrounds, Slinger, Stafford, which is the part of the country that I grew up in. And there's no more popular or iconic short track in the Northeast than Stafford. And put these guys out there in a car they can have fun in. And so, it, you know, IROC is the foundation of it. And Ray, you know, began his career working at IROC. But it's updated for today's times and to make a great product that we can all enjoy.
And also, you know, you're going to be calling the action for CBS. You have Lindsey Zarniak that's a part of it, Brad Doherty that's a part of it as well. These are all familiar names, like yourself, to race fans, but to have a partner like CBS, to have, you know, working in television, having the TV deal is huge to help grow this product. So how big is that to be able to work with a partner like CBS?
Well, and the difference is, you know, CBS is not a partner in the realm of just a TV broadcast outlet. CBS is literally a partner in the series.
Right.
And so they we've got all the bells and whistles we could ask for. If you think about producing a Saturday night primetime television program for 2 hours, for 6 weeks, that just happens to be based around racing, that's the approach. And CBS is terrific. I mean, we did a production day Monday in Charlotte where we had all the drivers in and did all the fancy filming and the effects and all that kind of. I mean, there were no shortage of things thrown at this in terms of people, in terms of creativity. It just, you know, it's going to be great. And for racing to get back into a prominent place on CBS, yeah, is good for the whole sport. You know, it's good for the whole sport to have another major network involved in racing.
I completely agree with that. Talladega this weekend for the NASCAR series, and you've called, yeah, several of those. Unpredictable is probably the best way to describe it, but with the way this season has gone, where we've seen a lot of different winners, which I like, I think that is fun. You kind of feel for Denny Hamlin that he's been dominant and he hasn't found victory lane yet, even though I think that is coming. You know, what, besides the unexpected, what are you expecting from Talladega this weekend?
Well, when you go into a Talladega race, first of all, what you want is, you want a safe race. That's always my first thought. Second,
absolutely,
thing is, no, you can't predict in any way, shape, or form what's going to happen. It's impossible. A lot of race teams know, and we've seen play out very, very obviously, that, you know, this is one of their four best chances to win a race this season. Look at Daytona and what happened in the 500. And, you know, it can be a career-making day for somebody. That somebody that's just struggling or hanging on, or, you know, they know that the equalizer of the draft is out there for them this weekend. They also know that there's a lot of things out of their control that are out there this weekend. So you know, hang in the draft, keep your car together in one piece, get around to the end, and you got a chance. That's what Talladega is, and you know, you come back to that old line from the movie. So you're saying there's a chance. And for a lot of people this weekend, they can say that when a lot of other weekends they can't. And that's exciting if you're a driver and a team owner.
Alan, as you know, with what you do, your voice, being able to paint the picture, whether it's on radio, which you've done, or television, your voice is going to forever be linked with certain moments. And I know you were on the call on MRN in 1998 when Dale Earnhardt finally broke through and won the Daytona 500. And then 20 years ago this July, you guys were making your debut on NBC, taking over that TV contract. And you and Wally Dallenbach and the late, great Benny Parsons were on the call as Dale Earnhardt Jr. returned to Daytona just a few months after losing his father to win that race. What do you remember about that night going into it, all the emotion? Because it certainly was different from any other race weekend because of what had happened that February.
Yeah, Chase, there's how much time you got? Because there's a lot that goes into that day, obviously. Right.
Right.
What happened at Daytona in February with losing Dale Earnhardt, returning there for the first time, the whole NBC, the build-up to NBC's debut as a full-time participant in broadcasting Cup racing was big. We were anxious to get going. We had a great team put together. Obviously, to make your debut in prime time on a Saturday night was kind of a big deal, so we all wanted to, good things to happen. And as the night unfolded, you're just not thinking all those things. You're just calling a race.
Right.
You're doing it. You're doing a show. And there were a few moments where you had some flashes of different things that brought some emotion out, maybe brought a little chill down the back of your spine. But the one thing that I remember the most is, at some point, looking out over turns 3 and 4 from the broadcast booth at Daytona and seeing Junior after he got set back in traffic, so I'm passing a couple cars in 3 and 4, and I had this flash that back to his dad's win at Talladega, where he kind of came from 18th to 1st, and
right.
It was like the same visual thing looking out from the booth across the racetrack, and that was kind of a goosebump moment. The words that people remember, those were spontaneous, kind of a play off that moment of recognition on my part. But I'd love to tell you that it was some, pre-scripted thing that I was brilliantly waiting to use, but, it just happened. And that, the thing that I could tell you about the most is the moment happened. I came up with some words to make it make sense that people have remembered and hung on to for years. And as a broadcaster, you look back on that and you say, okay, I got it right. And I'm thankful for that because it was a big moment and you want to get it right.
Yeah, and we'll always remember that moment. Was there a sense, because I can remember you said, using lessons learned from his father, he crosses the line. I hear BP. And miss BP, by the way, but here BP, going all right, was there a sense of, even though you're broadcasters, you're supposed to be objective, but a sense of, this is how it was supposed to be. Nobody else was supposed to come in and win this race. And it wasn't that it was making everything better. There was still a lot of hurt in what had happened, but it made you feel better in the moment because Little E comes back and takes on Daytona.
Well, what you felt good about, first and foremost, was you felt good for Junior and his family. How difficult it had to be to come back to that racetrack. And he's talked about it since then, so I'm not putting words in his mouth. But how difficult it was to come back to that racetrack and come to grips with that and go out and be ready to compete. You felt good for the fans because there was a loss there, too, and it was an opportunity for the fans to fall back in love with Daytona and to have good feelings, which is what you want. And, for us, we've got the best seat in the house and we have a big responsibility, but we're not immune to those emotions also. It was a great healing moment for a lot of people in NASCAR. And, you know, that it happened was terrific. It could very easily not have happened. But that it did was a wonderful moment in the sport's history that just made a lot of people feel really, really, really good.
Absolutely. Alan, this has been a lot of fun. You are one of the best, and very excited that you're going to be a part of SRX on CBS starting on June 12th at Stafford Motor Speedway. But appreciate you taking the time. Enjoy St. Pete, and we hope to do it again soon.
Yep, happy to. Look forward to being in Nashville. It's going to be a blast. I think the last time I did a race at the fairgrounds was maybe the late 90s.
Okay.
And I was actually in Nashville about a year and a half ago and drove by the fairgrounds just to eyeball it myself. I can't wait to be there with SRX this summer.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks, Alan.
See you, Chase.
Yeah, Alan Beswick, longtime motorsports announcer, and, of course, he will be the play-by-play man for SRX coming up this summer. They kick off their schedule at Stafford on June 12th. They'll be at Nashville at the fairgrounds July 17th. So, as we've said on this show, you have a whole summer of racing starting Father's Day weekend, so June 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Nashville Super Speedway. Go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com to get your tickets or call 1-866-RACE-TICKS. So you have that, and then in July, you have SRX at the fairgrounds, July 17th, and then, of course, August 8th, the 1st of August, the Music City, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix out on the streets of Nashville. So going to be really, really cool. Appreciate Alan Beswick for being able to join us today. I said earlier, when did the contenders break through? Most notably, when does Denny Hamlin break through and find victory? We will talk about that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Awesome chat with Alan Beswick. If you miss anything on today's show, you have several options in which to check it out. You can go to thegamenashville.com. You can make sure you are subscribed on podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. We are on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. We are on Google. We're on Spotify. Just search for Chasing Checkers. You can go to chasingcheckersradio.com as well. And YouTube, you can watch. I mean, we have video. We have it all. It's great technology. So Chase McCabe here with you. Captain Kurt back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. So when will the contenders break through? That is the big question. Denny Hamlin has by far led the most laps this year. He has been a very dominant driver in, you know, all of these races. I mean, in 9 starts this year, 8 top fives, and no wins to show for it. No DNF, 694 laps led. He's got 5 stage wins. And we're sitting here talking about, when's Denny Hamlin going to win? So that's one. You look at other guys that you would expect to have won by now, and they haven't. Chase Elliott, the defending Cup Series champion. Now, it's been up and down for him. In 9 races, only 3 top fives, 4 top tens. He's got 1 DNF, only 1 stage win. Things have not really come together for him as of yet. Kevin Harvick is another one. Only 2 top fives on the year, 6 top tens. He's only led 17 laps, though. That's unusual for Kevin Harvick after he was so dominant last year. Brad Keselowski, 3 top fives, 3 top tens, 2 DNFs, and only 1 stage win. 5 wins at Talladega, so you got to pay attention to him. And, of course, Kyle Busch, no wins, and it's been tough going the last couple of years for Kyle Busch. Only 2 top fives, 5 top tens on the year, 8 laps led for Kyle Busch. That is so unlike Kyle Busch, as we all know. So when is it going to happen? Let's start with Denny Hamlin. And I said earlier in the show that for the first time this year, I really have felt like I'm hearing the frustration set in. And people kept asking, as they should. They kept, you know, saying, like, asking the questions. And he said, it's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating for sure, you know. But honestly, I'd rather be Ryan than Alex Bowman. I don't care that he's got to win. I mean, we're smashing everyone. So I'd still rather be where I'm at.
Do we believe that? Do we believe that a competitor like Denny Hamlin, yes, he has been, in his words, smashing everyone. Do we truly believe, though, that he would rather be where he is and not have a win than where Bowman is and have a win? I think to an extent, maybe, but racers want to win. That's what it's all about. Checkers or wreckers. The checkered flag, the check, the trophy, all of those things that come with it. And he's a winner. He's a proven winner. He's a three-time Daytona 500 winner. That guy has really done everything there is to do except win a championship at this point. And I really feel like one of those is coming. So I don't know if I truly believe that. Yes, they're in a good position. But you want to have those dubs to go along with it. And, you know, he goes on to say that the effort by his team has been there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's frustration for sure. I mean, but it doesn't change, you know, my attitude or work ethic. I mean, I'm going to work just as hard to win next week and the week after that. It just, you know, you have, you're a competitor, you want to win, especially when you have great opportunity to win. But, you know, it just didn't happen. You know, just digest it and look at it and see, you know, where we could have been a little bit better. But ultimately, there's nothing I could do. My effort was as high as it could be. There's nothing, you know, that's glaring that I feel like I could or should have done different. But, you know, maybe there is. I'll go back and look at it and figure it out. But you know, it just seemed like the 48, you know.
There you go, Denny Hamlin on the effort being there with not only this week but weeks past. So these guys all are going to break through. I feel like just the way this year has gone with the different number of winners, my question is, like, when Denny Hamlin does break through, does that mean he's going to go on a tear and he's going to go from winning zero to, like, four in 6 weeks? That could happen. You know, same could be said for Chase Elliott, even though Chase Elliott has not run as well as a driver like Denny Hamlin. Brad Keselowski, you know, could he break through this weekend and find victory lane? You know, these are all very valid questions, but I can't sit here and tell you that, no, you know what, I just think time is passing by. They're not going to get it done. We all know that's not true. We know that that's not the case. They're going to figure it out. And it could happen as early as this weekend. I mean, we'll get to Sunday Money here in just a few minutes. I mean, it shouldn't surprise you who's the favorite. I think it all happens here very, very soon. So we'll talk about Talladega. We know how unpredictable Talladega is, the type of racing we're going to see. We'll do that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers. It is all presented by the Nashville Super Speedway here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Back here, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're on the stream as well, on YouTube, Twitch, all of those things, and had a little bit of a technical issue there just a few minutes ago, so apologize for that, but we're back up and running on that. All right, let's talk Talladega as we get ready for this weekend, and we are running out of time. We all remember the Daytona 500 and what happened with the Penske teammates. Michael McDowell ends up getting the win. Brad Keselowski, as you're going to hear, was a little upset at the end of that race because he couldn't get up there and win the Daytona 500 and ended up getting wrecked.
Had a big run down the back stretch. He wanted to make the pass to win the Daytona 500, and it ended up really bad. I don't feel like I made a mistake, but I can't drive everybody else's car. So frustrating. The discount tire Ford was not the fastest, but Jeremy Bowen's whole team did a great job of keeping us in position. Right then, we were in position. It's exactly where I want to be, running second on the last lap at Daytona with this package. And had to run, made the move, and it didn't work out.
There you go. Had the run, made the move, and it didn't work out. That was Brad Keselowski talking about Daytona. So did they talk? Speaking of talking about, did they talk? Did the teammates get together and talk about how it was going to work at Talladega? Brad Keselowski was asked that after he won the iRacing event on Wednesday night.
Yeah, Bob, we met, or I shouldn't say met, we Zoom called, that's, I guess that's the new met, yesterday and talked through some different scenarios. And yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any perfect answers, but there's good spirit. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think Talladega is a lot different than the Daytona 500. It's more room to race, a lot of other different things that go on. And, you know, the way the cars drive is significantly different. So I don't really think I have a lot of concerns about it, to be quite honest.
Thank you.
And I don't know if they should, because he just made a good point. There's a lot more room. There is a lot more room. You know, people always say that Daytona and Talladega are pretty much the same. They're not. Talladega is bigger. We know where the start-finish line is. It's not in the tri-oval. It's at the end of the tri-oval. There's more room on the track, so you could see more four-wide racing. And if you do make a mistake, you have not much, but a little more room to try and correct that mistake. You know, Brad Keselowski's good there. You know, we were talking in the last segment about drivers needing to break through and when were they going to break through. He's won five times there. He leads active drivers. So I think that you certainly have to watch out for him. I'm not concerned about Penske teammates running together. All three have won there. I mentioned BK and his five. Logano's got three wins. The last coming in 2018. Ryan Blaney has two wins there. He won last year and the year before at the Talladega Super Speedway. So they know how to get around that place. They're going to be tough to beat, which leads us right in to Sunday Money. All right, so this one is kind of tough to do because, you know, who the hell knows what's going to happen at Talladega? Nobody does. Denny Hamlin is the favorite at plus 650. All these odds by BetMGM. So Denny Hamlin is the favorite at plus 650. I basically am going to give you four picks. I'm not going to say that they're the three in the long shot because I think all of these could be considered long shots with the odds that you're going to be getting. So if you're watching on the stream, they're now on your screen. Brad Keselowski, plus 1,100. He's got five wins there. I think there is a very, very good chance he could make it six. Eric Almirola is a solid super speedway racer, has won at Talladega. He has one win in 2018 at plus 1,600. Matt DiBenedetto at plus 3,000 always seems to be hanging around on these plate rate or these super speedways. And if you stay out of trouble and you're there at the end, I think you have a shot with the Wood Brothers Ford. And so I like that value. There's a big payout there if you take him, and they need it too. He needs it. Wood Brothers needs it. I mean, this is going to be his final year there. Austin Cindric is going to take over next year. So I watch out for them. And then Bubba Wallace in the 2311 team, plus 5,000. Awesome payout for Bubba Wallace. And had he not gone the lap down, he had the mistake at the end of the 500. He was right there. I mean, he had the speed. You could tell they really had that car dialed in. So I'm giving you four this week. Brad Keselowski at plus 1,100. Eric Almirola at plus 1,600. Matt DiBenedetto plus 3,000. Bubba at plus 5,000. So good luck on that. Sunday Money, the odds from BetMGM. As we get out of here, let's look at the top 10, how they're going to line up for the Geico 500 at the Talladega Super Speedway. Denny Hamlin will start from the pole. Joey Logano, second. Martin Truex Jr. will roll off third. William Byron, fourth. Alex Bowman, fifth. Christopher Bell, sixth. Ryan Blaney will roll off seventh. Chase Elliott, eighth, who has won there as well. Kyle Busch, ninth. Brad Keselowski will start 10th. I mentioned active drivers that have won there. Eric Almirola has one win. Chase Elliott, one win. Kevin Harvick, once. Kyle Busch, one win. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has one win as well. And then you have Denny Hamlin with two, Blaney with two, Logano with three, Brad Keselowski with five. As we wrap things up, I want to say that this is a bittersweet day for us here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. The man on the ones and twos, Captain Kurt, who has been here pretty much as long as I have. He has been a staple on weekend mornings on our radio station and has done a tremendous job. This is his last weekend with us. He has had a huge impact on my career personally because he has been my producer through coming up the ranks, whether it was doing a weekend show, doing this show, all of these different things. He has always been available to fill in when needed and step up at a moment's notice. So, Captain, you truly are the captain to all of us, and you are going to be sorely missed, but very excited for you and your family as you head back to Texas, and you get to be closer to family. So thank you for everything that you've done, not only for this radio station, but for me personally.
You're welcome. Hey, Nashville, thanks. It's been fun.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for Captain Kurt. I am Chase McCabe. This is Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.